You're listening to VFN TV highlights at VFNKB.com. Enjoy.
It's fun to, you know, our vocabulary has been stolen. I mean, when you say church, people picture a building and a Sunday meeting between 10:45 and 10:46,
right,
you know.
Right.
But when I say church, I'm talking about the body of Christ and who we are and, you know, the ecclesia and all that. And so, you know, that you know, I don't know if you read The Call with Rick Joyner, where the Lord had this vision where the people are basically locked up in these places and they're, God's wanting them to get free, but it's, you know, you got to pass through fear, everything you fear, you know, going out into where there's lions, tigers, and bears. I mean, it's like people are terrified to be the church. They're terrified to just talk about him. He gives them the job, he gives them a home, he gives them a family, he blesses them, he heals them. And then you say, can you bring them up in your life? I tithe, and it's like, I understand you tithe, but you're around 1,000 people every day, you know? And what is that fear factor that because we'll lose the blessing, we'll lose the country, for example, in America, if we don't
speak
up, if we don't give him the glory and bring, they don't realize God's doing it because the church is not saying God is the one doing this.
The biggest frustration for me in the ministry, whether it's pastoring or traveling, teaching, whatever, is getting the church out of the church.
Amen,
and
brother.
It's it because we're hypnotized by habit, and we've got a concept. And I really believe that God is bringing us through a wilderness. And one of the big things about a wilderness is it's designed to change how you think. That's why Israel couldn't get in the first generation, because they kept thinking Egyptian.
Right.
And they had been there 400 years. They built a culture.
Right.
And so they'd say, you know, we missed the leeks and the garlics and the nice barbecues we had. And now, you know, they forgot how terrible it was.
Right, right.
And but it had their brain. Mm-hmm. It's like Carl Jung said, people don't have ideas. Ideas have people.
Mm.
And I think that many Christians are captured by an idea of what it means to be a Christian instead of allowing the Lord to change how we think, to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, and functioning out where God sent us. And God, we can preach and sing about the Great Commission and all this and being sent by God and be just as locked up as we ever were.
Isn't it amazing?
And that's a deception.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's comforting, I guess, but it's why we're losing the culture.
Well, I remember, you know, sitting in a traditional type setting and ministering in there and helping, and people sat together by each other for 10 years, but they don't know each other. They're sitting right by each other, and one is dying. They're literally dying, and their life is crashing. And I'm going, Bob, this is Jim. Jim, this is Bob. Hey, how are you doing? And they're dying, right? I said, well, you know, I want to get you guys together in a small group. And they go, oh, I'm busy. And their wife comes and pulls, like, please get him in. He's help. And it's like individually versus digital. They're individually dying, but nobody's saying anything. And nobody's connecting the we're called to be family. You know, Father God, our elder, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but our elder brother, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, heirs of God, that we're brothers and sisters in the Lord, mothers and fathers, but yet we live like we're in an orphanage. We live like, you know, dysfunctional kids, who parents who don't want to parent, you know, children who don't want to turn their hearts to their fathers and the fathers of children. It's just like what's happening in America right now in the world in regards to family. I believe it's happened in the church. I mean, the church is just out. We've messed up the definition of family ourselves. Does that make sense?
Oh, it certainly does. I think we've lost 80% of our young people.
Wow.
In this generation.
80%.
And fatherhood is the number one problem in the world, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And I've tried to focus on men because I felt God called me to do that, but it's the biggest problem.
Yeah.
If men will turn their hearts to God, for the most part, women will stand with them.
That's right.
And children will be more likely to stay with the Lord too. But again, if you're going to reach men, it's not necessarily going to be with singing.
Right. Right. No.
A lot of guys, they can't sing.
Right.
And I don't mean, I thank God, I love to hear men sing. I'm not right. I'm not putting that down. I'm just saying, right. Men that can't sing high notes, most of them. Help me, Lord. I don't want to get off in a landmine, but the thing is, now you start a ball team and they'll show up.
Right.
You start a fishing trip and...
We went camping for years, for 10 years, and we had thousands of men show up. The Marines showed up, government showed up, the community showed up, and it was all
men. Exactly.
All men and boys.
And that's outside of a church meeting.
Right. And but God showed up.
Yeah, God showed up.
It was powerful. The presence of God would come down.
If you study Jesus, I mean, if we took the gospel seriously, where is he? Who's he talking to? What's he doing? Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
No, he's eating. But, he's relating. He's connecting.
He's calling fishermen for first place. These guys are commercial fishermen. They're not sanctified.
No.
They're rough guys. I have cousins that are commercial fishermen, or you know, had them that some have passed on, but. Mm-hmm. They didn't know bad language was bad. And, you know, Peter fell down in the boat and said, get out of my boat, I'm a sinful man. And that's the idea the world has, and a lot of Christians have, is you can't get around sinners. Well, how are you going to ever win them if you don't build a relationship with them?
Right.
And you can't be sensitive to their habits. You love them and believe that God will touch them and the Holy Spirit will do his work. But I look at Jesus, I mean, he had more mercy on the adulteress and the tax collector and these rough fishermen than he did on the Pharisees and Sadducees.
This might seem strange, and I'm not putting anything down, but sometimes I feel safer and closer and more loved around somebody who doesn't know God yet, and I've been more threatened and bad things have happened to me from people who say they love God and love me. I mean, literally, my heart's been broken. But the people, and I got people that will just jump up and protect me. They would just—they love me. They don't know the Lord yet. I'm speaking in their life, but I'm thinking, like, isn't that weird how that sometimes happens?
It's tragic. I tell people that prostitutes and addicts have never hurt me, but Christians like to kill me. And that doesn't mean I'm against Christians and for prostitutes and addicts. I'm just saying, and I've worked with prostitutes and addicts, and you know, there can be trouble out there. But the fact is, if we don't have authenticity in our faith, then it's dangerous because you're walking on thin ice.
Yeah, and that's, you know, the first thing that we did when we went, you know, public, and what we're doing is we try to write our testimonies so people understand that we're just like everybody else.
Sure,
and that we want to let you know that, you know, Jesus didn't come, like what Ravi Zacharias says, you know, he didn't come to make bad people good, he came to make dead people alive.
That's great.
And so we start,
because
you know, who are you calling good? I mean, Jesus said, who are you calling good? But we're trying to allow people to project goodness on us, and so we're trying to live up to this good standards, and we do good things, but it's only because God's Spirit empowers us to do it. You know, and if you pull back, we'd be a mess. But sometimes we're struggling with that good thing. It's like, oh my goodness, you think, no, I don't walk on water. No, this is just, you know what I'm saying? So talk about that.
I think we can grow to be like, in fact, I think the reason things happen is to cause us to grow, to be conformed. Romans 8:28, we all know all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. But verse 29 says he's conforming us to the image of Christ.
Right.
So the all things are not just, you know, God's good.
Right.
They're conforming us sometimes to some pretty hard things.
Oh, yeah.
We can grow, and we need to grow, but you can't lie to God.
No, he already knows.
Right. When you're praying and, you know.
Dear Heavenly Father.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
But, you know, in my personal time with the Lord, I try to be as honest as I know how. And repentance is recognition that you've come short, mm-hmm. and being grieved about it with a godly sorrow, and then going from there. But I think honesty before God is critical, and the guy who beat his chest and said, "Oh God, have mercy on me, a sinner," got grace from God. The Pharisee, who probably lived a better life in some ways, did not. And I'm not condoning sin. Oh, I'm just simply saying God can help an honest person.
Right.
A person who's not willing to be honest is going to be in trouble.
Yeah, they believe their own lie, right? So, you know, what I found is that when I tried to do it in my own works, I would crash. But when I would trust God to do it through me, I would succeed. But I couldn't take credit for it because I can't tell you how it happened. I mean, I got the same results I wanted in my life, but I can't tell you how it happened. I just trusted Him
by the grace of God.
You know, so I see a work in my life. You know that, yeah, I'm not what I probably should totally be, but I'm definitely not what I used to be, and I'm on this journey.
Right.
And you know, I want to be found faithful in it, but I know it's just the work of the Holy Spirit. You know,
absolutely.
In our lives,
we don't sanctify ourselves.
Nope. Well, you write about here. You said, you know, in page 60, you write, it says the life of Christ would be multiplied through His disciples, not through the law or the temple. Family fruit will fill the earth as a natural family has. You know, what did you mean by that, specifically?
Well, I believe that we are a family.
Yes.
We're brothers and sisters in Christ. And
some people are going to be shocked to find out we're all family.
Well, He's our Father.
Yes, He is.
And of course, we get in trouble when we don't treat our siblings the way we should.
Right.
And I believe that as a father, He knows the process to nurture us toward maturity. Mm-hmm. And if we allow His love, which is perfect love, to guide us, we don't have to be afraid in that process.
Yes.
And that He's working all things around us to conform us within,
right,
to change our nature, our character, and to develop the divine nature that He's put in us. I was reading 1 Corinthians 10, and Paul is talking about the Exodus, and he said, these things happened as an example to us. Mm-hmm. And then in verse 11, he says it again, these things happen for our instruction or as an example to us. It struck me so hard that I went back to read about the Exodus again. And of course, I've read through the books. But so I read Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and I'm about to get into Deuteronomy. And I don't think we can appreciate our journey if we don't see Israel's journey. Mm. And when he says this is for your instruction, I could take that to mean God went to a lot of trouble to show me what not to do,
right,
or what to do. Mm-hmm. And that generation got out there, and they went from celebrating and dancing to desperation in 3 days, you know, and I appreciate the charismatic dimension of joy, mm-hmm. but when we hit reality, a lot of times there's desperation, and that continued, and they did all the wrong things in the wilderness. They complained, and they grumbled, and they, you know, were against Moses, wanted to kill him, and all those things. And
Moses didn't want to do it in the first
place. He didn't want to do it. Right. I can identify with that. Plus, he was 80 years old when he started out. That's hard to imagine. Moses was quite a man, I'll tell you that. But what I'm getting at is he had to prepare them. It's not getting the land ready for us. It's getting us ready for the land.
Wow.
And this wilderness is a formation process that they totally misunderstood, and I think a lot of Christians do. Mm-hmm. Even those of us who've been baptized in water and baptized in the Holy Spirit and had wonderful experiences, and then we hit this that makes no sense.
Right.
And we're having to deal with all our struggles. It's not supposed to be like that because, you know, Jesus loves you. We don't understand the disciplines that God is working in our life. I believe God has wonderful things for the church, but I believe He's refining us. He's dealing with us. Mm-hmm. And that's not a bad thing.
Right.
If you say discipline to this generation,
wow, yeah,
that's a bad word.
Yes, it is.
But there's not a decent football team, baseball team, basketball team, or any other sport that doesn't go through rigorous discipline.
Correct.
And if you don't want it, get off the field.
Right.
And yet Christians think, well, that's for sport. That's what life is about. That's a metaphor. And the Exodus is a serious metaphor. Mm-hmm. I came out of my reading so far with two thoughts. One, God loves details.
Yeah.
I mean, when you read those, I mean, the details in it are amazing. The second is God is serious.
He's very serious.
And I think the idea of grace that a lot of people have is details don't matter, mm-hmm. and they do.
Right.
And they also believe that God's kind of Santa Claus, and He's not serious.
And that you're overboard,
yeah.
you're thinking about details.
Yeah.
Like, what are you worried about that for? Don't worry about yeah. that. It's like, don't you understand?
But yeah. any successful executive can tell you details are important.
Sure enough, bottom line.
And it's not to get to heaven,
right.
but it's to get to the land God has for us.
Right.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNKB.com. And don't forget about our VFNKB app. No matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. Connect and sign up for the next webinar or attend our next summit at VFNKB.com. VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.